Let's just pray again before we look at a portion of the Bible. Heavenly Father, we pray that on this special day, as we look at your incarnation, you'll speak to us, Lord, and encourage us and build us up in the faith. Oh Lord, we are a fortunate people that our God reached down to us because we could not reach up to him. And we bless your name this morning. Amen. Amen. Well, I want to thank Susan for giving our reading this morning, because that is what I'm preaching on. I want to look at those few verses in Isaiah chapter 9. Last night we looked at that part of verse 2. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. But I want to look at verse 6 and 7 today. Only two verses, it'll be a short message. In case you're wondering, by the way, why I keep looking at my phone, it's not because I'm bored. If I were, it would be my own fault. But my watch battery has gone, the clock battery has gone. My phone is the only clock that's actually working. And I'm sure you'd appreciate me not going on too long. So, verse 6 and verse 7 of Isaiah chapter 9. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with justice and judgment, from that time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. A few of us went to hear Messiah by Handel at Blackburn Cathedral, and when I read those verses from either the New King James or the King James, I start singing the tune inside my head. And I think now of Handel's Messiah, but this is truly one of the most gorgeous verses in the entire Bible. And Isaiah is talking about the restoration of Israel. The nation of Israel had gone through a tough time. The Assyrians are on their borders. They're about to invade. There's a real danger the nation's going to be annihilated. And Isaiah says salvation is coming. But it won't come in the form of a general. It won't come in the form of an army. It certainly wouldn't come in the form of an air force. It comes in the form of a child. And maybe they'll have thought, well, what good is a child to us? That child was every good to them. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Again, Hebrew poetry repeats itself, doesn't it? It makes a point, and then it makes the same point using slightly different words in the next line. A child is born, a son is given. The child who is born is going to be male, and he's going to be a gift. When you get to my age, you don't get up early to open any presents. One year I opened them on Boxing Day because I was too busy. But if you can remember being a child and you running downstairs as quickly as you could to open what was under the tree, the excitement of knowing that somebody has given something to you. Well, Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6 talks of a gift that was given to you before you were even born. And it's the best gift you'll ever have. That the Son of God should become a human and gave his life for you that you might be reconciled to God. The government will be upon his shoulder. Whose government? Our government? Well, it's talking, I think, to a time when the Messiah will come and will reign on the earth. Now, Isaiah may not have known it, but we do. The Messiah comes twice. He came, first of all, as a baby in order to pay for sin. He will come a second time to reign and to rule. And maybe Isaiah is espying from afar the second coming of Christ, the second coming of the Messiah. On the other hand, maybe he's talking about you and I. You see, when you become a Christian, You stop being in charge of yourself and you give the charge to him. He becomes our Lord. He becomes our King. The government of our lives, and I pray to God, the government of this church is on his shoulder. And his name will be called, he doesn't say Jesus, does he? Just imagine if Isaiah in 700 BC had said, and the Messiah will be called Jesus. Every child in Israel for the next 700 years would have been called Jesus, and it would not have helped one bit. So instead, Isaiah gives us the titles of that child. He will be called Wonderful. Have you noticed how words in the English language have a habit of changing their meaning? Take, for example, the word amazing. Now, the word amazing means to be shocked or extremely surprised in a pleasant way. But its meaning is changing to mean good. So, for example, I have friends who came back from a meal out and said, oh, we had an amazing meal. What they meant was that they had a good meal. But they've used the word amazing to add that extra emphasis. I'm pretty sure that, if someone came round to your house for tea and they said, that was an amazing meal, what they mean is it was a good meal, not we were so shocked that you're able to cook so well because we had such low expectations. Right, the word wonderful is one of those words which has been watered down through overuse, like amazing. Wonderful doesn't just mean good. It means something you can't get your head round. To be full of wonder means to be awestruck, puzzled in a good way, unable to comprehend something, unable to understand it. This child who is going to be born is going to be wonderful. Counselor, one who is wise, one who has knowledge, one to whom you can repair when you need help. And there we have Mighty God. Isaiah is not just predicting another prophet. He's predicting God himself. And that's what makes biblical Christianity different to all the other religions. All the other religions have prophets and they have gods and deities. But none of them have a God who became a real human being. The Greek gods pretended. The God of the Bible became a real human being. So that when you struck him, he would bruise. When you cut him, he would bleed. When you crucified him, he would die. Nevertheless, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. Now, this is not the day where we try and get our heads round the Trinity. The doctrine of. Let me tell you, it's a wonderful doctrine. And I mean that in you can't understand it. But this much I do know. There is the Father, there is the Son, and there is the Holy Spirit. And they are somehow distinct, and yet they are God, the one God. And Jesus said, when you have seen me, you have seen the Father. So if you want to know what God is like, behold Jesus Christ. Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. The Everlasting Father, God himself, came to earth in the form of this child. And his final title is the Prince of Peace. Well, have a look around the world today. Do you see peace? I don't. In fact, the world today is as violent and as bloody as it has ever been. So was Isaiah wrong? Well, I would answer that twofold. The peace of which this prince will come and bring is the peace between us and God. And yet also I believe in his second coming he will bring peace on the earth when he comes in judgment. So you can have his government now in your life and have peace in your heart. But when he comes again, he will bring his government to the entire world and bring peace with it. of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. In other words, the peace is increasing. You know, the more people call upon Christ, the more people become Christians, so more the influence of the Prince of Peace spreads on the planet. And the increase of his government. I imagine that today some people around the planet will become Christians. They will bow their knee to Christ. And his government will have increased. The peace between man and God will have increased in that small corner. And then Isaiah says, upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. A kingdom is coming, says Isaiah, which won't be replaced by another one. In our Bible studies, we're looking at the book of Daniel. And what happens in the book of Daniel is that successive empires come. The Babylonian Empire, the Persian Empire, the Greek Empires, the Roman Empires. But Daniel sees a fifth kingdom. And Isaiah sees it as well. A kingdom is coming to earth that will never end. An empire is coming to planet earth, which, unlike the British Empire and the French Empire and the Roman Empire and the Babylonian Empire, won't be taken over or dissolve. It will be here forever. And the final section, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. What does that mean? Well, the Lord of hosts is a title for God. It means the Lord of the armies of heaven. In the NIV, I think it's translated God Almighty. The zeal, the passion, the determination of God will make sure that what has just been said will definitely happen. Do you know somebody who is a man of his word or a woman of her word? When they say they'll do it, they'll do it. I'm sure, like me, you've met plenty of people who don't fall into that category. They say they'll meet you at 9 o'clock, you know to turn up at 9:30, and you'll still be there before them. God is not like that. When he says a child is going to be born, when he says a son is going to be given to you, it would happen, and it did happen. And when he says the Prince of Peace, the Everlasting Father, the Wonderful Counselor and Mighty God will come again, it will happen. The zeal of the Lord of Hosts will perform it. I pray God's blessing upon you this day. And I pray that the government of Christ will be in your life and my life more than ever. We look back on his first coming. We look forward to his second. Amen.